Our scripture text this evening for the sermon is Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I will be preaching really only in verse 1 tonight. And as long as I am serving here in the weeks and months to come, we're going to be just working our way through Romans chapter 12 in a sermon series entitled The Christian's Reasonable Service. Could be titled Spiritual Worship. And so tonight we're going to be looking at verse 1, but I'm going to be reading verses 1 and 2. So if you have the Word of God open, this is God's Holy Word, and by it we are sanctified. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And this is the word of our God. Let us pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your holy word. We pray, O Lord, that your word would be laid up as treasure in our hearts. And we pray, Father, that you would use your word to sanctify us wholly, to make us holy, to make us that which we are already in Christ. But we pray, O Lord, that you would sanctify us and that we would desire to be your holy people more and more, conformed unto the image of Jesus himself. We need your Holy Spirit to sanctify us, to grant us that grace. And we pray, O Lord, through the preaching of the Word of God tonight, that our own hearts would be searched, and that you, O Lord, would lead us in the way that is right and acceptable and perfect. And we pray, O Lord, that you would grant that we, your people, as your priestly people, would more and more know what it means to offer you reasonable service, spiritual worship to your glory and praise. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Just, I'll delve into it as we get into the sermon tonight. But there's a wonderful 17th century Dutch theologian who entitled his kind of systematic theology "The Christian's Reasonable Service." The theologian was, and he was a pastor and a very faithful pastor, had a wonderful ministry throughout Holland in the mid 17th century, but his great work was called "The Christian's Reasonable Service," and it's lots of practical theology and really good sound teaching from the Word of God. So, kind of stealing his title, which is obviously here in the Scripture, for this sermon series. Beloved, you have heard before the Protestant Reformation and Martin Luther and others who followed in his footsteps proclaimed and made known and reasserted over against what had developed over centuries in the Roman Catholic Church of a priesthood that was kind of in a class by itself. Men who were called to labor in the church in priestly ministry, to administer the sacraments, and so on. But Luther, reading the scripture, saw very plainly that every Christian, everyone who is called into Christ, is part of that great priesthood of believers, those who are called to offer themselves as living sacrifices after the pattern of our great high priest Jesus Christ, who offered himself once for all for our salvation on the cross, that we have in Christ, and by the very nature of our union with the Lord Jesus, also have a priesthood. And so, do you not know, brothers and sisters, that you are our priests serving our God? Let me just cite a few scriptural references that support that thought, several of them from the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, we hear, "To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Priest to his God and Father. You and I, by virtue of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, are a kingdom of priests to our God and Father. Then in Revelation 5, verse 10, the song of the four living creatures and the 24 elders, they sang, "And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." And as that kingdom, brothers and sisters, we reign on earth through the Lord Jesus Christ as we offer spiritual sacrifices to God. And then in Revelation 20, again, verse 6, "They will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with him for 1,000 years. So again, referencing our priesthood in Christ Jesus. And then another verse outside of Revelation, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, where the apostle says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light." We are a royal priesthood, God's own possession. Think about that. As God's people, we are his own possession, purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. And our work in the world as that priesthood is to proclaim the excellencies of God, the excellencies of the Lord Jesus Christ, the excellencies of the Holy Spirit, as we give worship to God and as we serve our God in the world, in the places and stations where he has placed us, by his providence and his gifting and grace. And so we fulfill that calling that was given originally to Israel as they approached Mount Sinai. You might remember in Exodus 19, verse 6, the Lord, speaking of the people of Israel, says, "And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." And so the church fulfills that which was originally given to the nation of Israel. And so the Christian is a priest by virtue of his being baptized and professing faith in the sacrificial death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Christ's offering of his own righteous life was in fulfillment of his priestly office. He was made a priest forever, not according to the Aaronic priesthood, but according to the priesthood given to Melchizedek. And so we read in the letter to the Hebrews, which really details the priesthood of Christ, several verses. Hebrews 7, verse 7, "He sacrificed for sins once for all when he offered himself." And then Hebrews 9, 14, "Christ offered himself up unblemished to God, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Hebrews 9, 28, "Christ was offered up for many to take away sins." And then in Hebrews 10:10, we have been made holy through the offering up of the body of Jesus once for all. We are holy. We are set apart as that priestly people for the purposes of God in the world, to bring him glory and honor by our worship and by our service. And then in Paul's letter to the Romans chapter 6, on that great beginning of that great chapter on sanctification in verses 3 and 4, Paul writes, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." So as we have been baptized into Christ, we have been brought into a union, a spiritual union with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have been raised with him as he has been raised from the dead. We have been raised to walk in newness of life, having been given new hearts that now desire to serve the Lord and worship him for his glory and praise. And then in Romans 6:13, Paul says, "Present or offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments of righteousness." And so you are to offer your whole being, because your whole being, your body and your soul, have been redeemed by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we ought not to lose sight of that. That it's not just our soul that has been saved and redeemed by the work of Christ, but our bodies, as frail as we feel them now, we know that what the gospel declares to us, that one day our bodies are going to be raised or changed into the likeness of Christ's glorious body, and that they will never perish, they will never sin, but they will be perfectly fit for the glory that is to come, and we shall serve the Lord Jesus Christ in that glorious body which shall be like unto his own. And we shall serve the Lord forever, body and soul redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ. So by the time we get to Romans chapter 12 and the verse for tonight, 12:1, Paul is calling the Christian believers at Rome, whom he's never met, but he's always wanted to visit. He's written to them extensively about the work of Christ, man's fallenness, but then Christ's redeeming grace, his justification, justifying us by faith, and then his sanctifying us. And he is calling the Christian believers at Rome to engage themselves here in chapter 12, kind of picking up where he left off in chapter 6, in the priestly service of God. And so this whole chapter that we're going to delve into in the weeks and months to come, Lord willing, we're going to learn about what that priestly service to God precisely is. But tonight we just want to consider the first verse. "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship," or can be translated as your reasonable service. So we want to consider three things tonight. First, the basis of our priestly service to God. It is by the mercies of God. Second, we want to consider the character of our priestly service to God, that is, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And then thirdly, we want to consider the design of our priestly service to God, which is to present your bodies, which is your spiritual worship. So those three things, the basis, character, design, by the mercies of God, a living sacrifice, spiritual worship. So let's consider the basis of the Christian's reasonable service, its basis by the mercies of God. Paul is really getting at how Christians are to fulfill that priesthood that they have been given. And it comes to each one of us, and it comes to us collectively in the church by the mercies of God. There's no other way. There's no other way for us to have this priesthood to be considered in any way, shape, or form as priests serving our God except by the mercies of God. Now, heretofore, Paul has outlined those mercies, particularly in chapters 3 through 5 in Romans. I'm going to cite a few verses from Romans chapter 5. Here, Paul lays out in just a couple of verses the divine mercy given to us as sinners. These should be familiar verses to you. Chapter 5, verse 6. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. We didn't get ourselves all cleaned up, and then Christ died for us. No, while we were ungodly and weak and without strength, Christ died for us. That is the mercy of God given to us. And then following that, in verses 8 and 9, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. Again, while we were sinners, not while we were righteous, but while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And so God gave to us as sinners not what we deserved, but he extended his mercy to us that we might be forgiven and pardoned and justified and made one with Christ through faith, that we might be the Lord's forever. Peter, in his first epistle, chapter 2, verse 10, says something similar, and kind of talking about the church in the collective sense. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You have received God's grace and his favor and his forgiveness. And therefore, it's by those mercies that we as Christians are called into the priestly service of God to offer ourselves, not under compulsion, brothers and sisters, but freely out of love for God and for Christ, for the mercy shown to us. If we had not been shown that mercy, where would we be today? I said that this morning. Where would we be? Still embroiled in our sin and misery. Still living without God and without hope in the world. So it is by the mercy of God. Do you feel the glorious weight of that? The joyous weight of that? By the mercy of God. This is the appeal. This is the basis of why we worship God, why we serve God, why we have been constituted as priests of God, because God has shown you and me mercy opening our eyes, opening our ears, taking out that heart of stone and replacing it with a heart of flesh, that we might begin to love God from the heart and not any longer be at enmity with God. And so the Christian is to offer his priestly service, her priestly service, not under compulsion, but freely out of love to God in Christ. And so that's the basis, the mercy of God that we have been shown. But now let's consider its character. And the character of our priestly service to God is as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And I want to break that down a little bit. First of all, a living sacrifice. When we read the Old Testament and all the sacrifices that are outlined in the books of Moses, the Old Testament sacrifices were alive, but then they were killed, and they were offered, and the blood was sprinkled, and the flesh offered on the altar. But in the New Testament, under the New Covenant, New Testament sacrifice is always a living sacrifice. That doesn't mean that we might not lose our life in service to Christ. But as we offer, as we are offered to God by the mercies of God, our lives are offered up to God. We are alive, and we are alive by virtue of Christ's resurrection life living within us. Remember again the Romans chapter 6, verse 13. I quoted this earlier. Present or offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members, that is the members of your body, your arms, your legs, your whole self, to God as instruments of righteousness. And we can only do that by virtue of Christ's death and resurrection. We have become, brothers and sisters, temples of the Holy Spirit. In whatever you do in this life, the Spirit of God, if the Spirit of Christ dwells within you, he gives life to your mortal body. That is, he imparts to you the life, the risen life of Christ himself. So that when others see the good you do, they give thanks to God in heaven. And so you are also not only a living sacrifice, but a holy sacrifice. Why? Again, it's not because of any virtue in and of yourself, any virtue that I possess as a human being. Rather, we are holy and offer ourselves as holy sacrifices because we have been washed by the blood of the Lamb, by Jesus himself. All to him I owe. Right? As we say, we've been washed. We've been made holy by virtue of Christ's virtue, by virtue of his holiness, his priesthood, his sacrifice. We are unblemished because we have been perfected by Christ. By one offering, we hear in Hebrews 10, 14, by one offering he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy or who are being sanctified. So in the sight of God, that service we offer and render to God is already perfected through Christ. Now, you and I know as we live out our lives, we still yet struggle inwardly with sin. That's a reality that Paul details in the 7th chapter, 6th and 7th chapter of Romans. But by Christ's offering, we have already been accounted holy in the sight of God. And now we are being made holy. We are being made that which God has already declared that we are, again through the virtue of Christ's Spirit. And then thirdly, we are living sacrifices holy and acceptable to God. And this is glorious, brothers and sisters. The sacrifice that we are and that we offer unto God is acceptable sacrifice. We read in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." We are accepted. We are acceptable because of what Christ has done. God is at peace with us through the shed blood of the Lamb. Not that everything that we offer to God is perfect, but it is perfected in God's sight by Christ. Perfected in God's sight by Christ. Now, here's something else that is that the world cannot accept. God will accept no other personal sacrifice by those who are not first justified in his sight through faith in Jesus Christ. I'm going to repeat that, and I'm going to expand on that using the Westminster Confession. But understand this. God will accept no other personal sacrifice by those who are not first justified in his sight through faith in Christ. Now, what do we mean by that? In the 16th chapter of the Westminster Confession on good works, we read in section 7, "Works done by unregenerate men, although for the matter of them they may be things which God commands, and of good use both to themselves and others, yet because they proceed not from a heart purified by faith, nor are done in a right manner according to the word, nor to a right end the glory of God, they are therefore sinful and cannot please God or make a man meet to receive grace from God, and yet their neglect of them is more sinful and displeasing unto God." Well, what does that mean? Until we be born again and by faith come unto Christ and are brought into union with Christ, whatever works, however good they may appear in the sight of mankind, and how whatever good they may do for others, if they are not works done by those born again of the Spirit in union with Christ, they are not acceptable to God. Nor can they earn any merit with God, because the only merit with God is through the one sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And so, brothers and sisters, that which we offer to God, as impoverished as it may be or seem to us sometimes, yet is acceptable to God, and our Father delights in it. The Heidelberg Catechism says that in this life we have but the beginnings of obedience. But even those beginnings of our obedience and our self-offering to God are acceptable to God because we are in Christ and by the virtue of Christ. And so the character of our priesthood is that of offering a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And then finally and thirdly, its design. What is the design of our priesthood? It is to present our bodies to God, which is your spiritual worship or your reasonable service to God. The Christian life, brothers and sisters, is a life of service to God. It is a life of self-giving unto God. It includes worship as we gather here from Lord's Day to Lord's Day. It certainly includes that, but it's not only that. In the Greek, it's logikein, latrion. Logikos means rational or spiritual. It involves thinking. It's not just using prayer beads and praying out loud. No, when we worship, when we offer ourselves to God, we do so with our minds. And the verse that we'll consider next time, verse 2, Paul talks about the renewal of our minds, right? And so the worship that we give to God is thoughtful worship. The service that we give to God is thoughtful worship and service based on the mercies of God and directed by the Word and the Spirit of God. It is done always in and through love. For if I give away all that I have and deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. But the worship that we give is, and the service that we render to God, is body and soul. We are embodied creatures. Christ redeemed us bodily through his broken body. And he redeemed our souls by the offering of his soul as an atonement for guilt. But there is unity in that. And so our sacrifice, all our service is because of Christ rendering up his body and soul for our sakes. And therefore, in imitation of him, following the pattern that he has given, we are to present our bodies unto God, which is our reasonable spiritual service. And so, as we go forth tonight, let's just consider a few things, words of application. First, therefore, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice in worship. In worship. We read in the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 24 through 25, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Worship, gathering together from Lord's Day to Lord's Day, is the highest calling that we have as those redeemed by Christ in our priestly service to God. Worship is our joy. Worship is not only where we are fed and nurtured in the graces given to us through Jesus Christ, but also it's where that glory is reflected back to God for that mercy that has been shown us. Heaven has come down in the person of Jesus Christ to redeem us, and now we offer ourselves in thanksgiving and joyful worship unto God, because of the mercy of God. And so, brothers and sisters, sometimes we don't feel like coming to worship. Sometimes there may be things of the world that are pulling us from coming to worship. But no, worship, that which we do together as God's people on the Lord's Day, is the highest calling that we have in this life. May we remember that, and may we desire not to enter into worship just with our minds, but with our whole selves, body and soul, giving praise and glory to God. Secondly, therefore, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice in witness. In witness. 1 Peter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. As we live in the world, brothers and sisters, our lives are in various ways to proclaim the excellencies of God who called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. And so whatever our particular callings are in life, wherever God has placed us, we are to strive for excellence, to give and declare to others by the lives that we live, to proclaim by our very lives that we belong to God through Jesus Christ. And when we fail, or when we sin and fall short of the glory of God, we go straight back to the throne of grace and say, Lord, help me even in my weakness, or by my failing, or even how I have sinned, to repent of it and to confess it and to show forth that I have been purchased and brought out of the ways of darkness and of this world to belong to God through Jesus Christ. So we're called to bear witness by our words and by our lives that we belong unto Christ. Oh, when people ask and say, why is it that so-and-so, Josh or Kathy, Gary, why is it that there is something in them that shows forth something intangible that is glorious and radiates into the darkness of this world by offering ourselves as a living sacrifice in witness? And then finally, therefore, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice in works of mercy. In works of mercy. Paul writes to the Ephesian church in chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Turn with me, brothers and sisters, to Matthew chapter 25. And at verse 31 we read, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him he will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. That, brothers and sisters, is the priestly life to which we have been called. In ways sometimes great, but very often in quiet and hidden works of grace and mercy that show forth that you belong to Christ and that you have offered yourself as a living sacrifice made holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, your spiritual worship, because that which you do is ultimately not for yourself, but for the glory and praise of Christ, which will be recognized when you stand before the throne at last and receive the kingdom of your inheritance that Christ has obtained for you, in which you will live and enjoy now as we live it in this life and in its fullness in the life to come. Amen. Let us pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, how great is your mercy toward us, O God. How great the love with which you have loved us in Christ, that you have seen fit in your eternal plan and by your great, unfathomable, and redeeming love to make us a kingdom of priests serving our God, to daily offer our lives up, body and soul, as living sacrifices made holy and acceptable in your sight through the blood of Jesus. Help us, Father, to offer ourselves with joy, knowing that the Spirit of Christ lives within us, that each of us individually, as we have faith and belong to Christ and together as the church, are a holy and royal priesthood. May we give of ourselves gladly unto our Savior, trusting that it is His grace and His Spirit that works in us for your good pleasure and for your glory in Christ, Father. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.